KSIV now presents Encounter, a public service program of Bot Radio Network, dedicated to keeping you informed about the issues that affect your life. Now, here's today's Encounter broadcast.
If you're looking for tips on being a godly father, an honest and successful businessman, and a young man who God took when his teachers said he's not going to amount to much, stay tuned. I'm Judy Redlick. This is Encounter. Tim Rabbit is my guest, and his story reminds us about how God can do the impossible with lives if they are open and expectant. Tim is the vice president of Midwest Service Group, and that is in St. Peter's, Missouri. And he is also on the board of the Ministry to Men group that meets in the greater St. Charles area. Tim, welcome to Encounter.
Good morning.
Tim, I always love talking to you because you always have some exciting news to share. You have some miracles to share that God has done in your life and great words of wisdom. Tell us a little bit about your story and what happened. You know, when you were growing up, you came up from a family of 12 brothers and sisters.
Yes, that's correct. My mom and dad were very loving, and we were Catholics. And mom and dad, when they went out on their first date, dad said he wanted 12 children. And my sisters
that would have scared me away. Right,
my five there. Sisters say, "Well, that's her fault for going out with him again." So anyway, they got married and had 12 children, and I'm number seven, right in the middle. I'm the fourth boy out of seven. I'm the seventh child out of 12.
What's it like to be right in the middle of 12 children?
Well, we had three gangs. We had the big kids, the little kids, and the middle kids. I was too big to be a little kid and too little to be one of the big kids, so I was in the middle.
So as you grew up, what kind of things did you experience as a middle child?
Well, it was fun. I got hand-me-downs, and I got to hand stuff down. But my brothers became my best friends. We, as adults, we go on vacation together. We go down to Gulf Shores every couple of years, and we all go down there, and now we bring our kids and grandkids.
Wow, so they're growing up. Well, they got enough cousins to grow up with now, don't they?
Yeah, they do. It's fun.
Did you reach 100 yet in your descendants from your brothers and
sisters? My first generation, I have 45 first cousins on my mom's side. So I don't know how many grandkids we all have now, but it's up there, I'm sure.
You have to rent an auditorium to have a dinner or a breakfast, right?
I usually have it out in the country, the family reunion, and a lot of them play music, so we go out to Farmington. They got a big farm out there where several of them live, and we have it out there.
Being the middle child sometime had its disadvantages, though, didn't it, Tim?
Yes, it did. It seems like I got bullied by my older brother, and when I tried to pass it down, it didn't work out for me.
Maybe you're a middle child, and you're hearing Tim's story, and you're saying, that's what happened to me, too. Tim, your teachers didn't really think you were going to amount to much, did they?
Well, I got my teachers kept testing me, and I went to the school district psychologist one hour a week, and he interviewed me. And at the end of the week, you know, he just shook his head. And so at the end of the year, my mom came in, and he said, Mrs. Rabbit, we have good news and bad news. And she said, what's that? She said, the good news is Tim does not have an inferiority complex. She said, great. What's the other news? She said, bad news is he's inferior.
They really told him that.
No, that's a joke. Oh. But I'm just saying that's how it kind of went because, you know, they found out they didn't know what dyslexia was back in the 60s. So they were trying to figure me out, and he said, we can't figure you out. And I said, that's okay. I can't figure you guys out either. So they just kept passing me, and I got to the fourth grade, and I had a teacher named Mrs. Barnhill, and she was the St. Louis Hawks was in St. Louis back then, and her husband was a professional basketball player, and his name was Jim Barnhill. I don't know if anybody remembers that. They won the world champion in 1957, the year I was born, and then she was still a teacher in the 60s. And so she asked my dad, can I take Tim home all summer? I'd like to work with him Monday through Friday and find out how he learns, because what I want to do is teach him how he learns. And that was kind of a new concept.
Amazing.
Yeah. What a blessing she was. Yeah.
So he took you home for the summer, and what happened?
Well, of course, I told my friends I was I had a grass cutting job. I didn't tell them I was going and getting tutored, but I walked from Shrewsbury up to Rock Hill every day, Monday through Friday, and she worked with me on things that I needed, and she did keep me back. I took fourth grade twice. I tell my friend I liked it so much I wanted to take it again, but she kept me back and worked with me for the second year, and then I moved on. I could do enough where I could start reading. I was having trouble in my reading, and my mom found out about it, and she said she found a book for me. It was called The Gift of Dyslexia. And she said, "Hun, you don't have a disability. You have a gift." She said, "You see stuff different than everybody else." And I'm like, "Really?" So I bought that, and it's kind of like it really motivated me that I had this gift.
Wow, The Gift of Dyslexia. That was fourth grade, Tim. What happened after that?
Well, I went on to Lockwood. It was called Lockwood School. They since shut down a private school there. I went on to Plymouth Junior High in the Webster Grove School District, and I went on to high school and graduated, went to Merrimack for a year, and then I started working, and I liked the money, so I wasn't too much into schooling, obviously, so I just kept working.
Tim, what did you do before you joined Midwest Service Group?
Well, I came to Midwest in 1987, and before that, I was in college, and my girlfriend got pregnant, and so I wanted to marry her, and we didn't get married for 7.5 months, so we finally got married, and we've been married for 39 years.
Awesome.
We've had 5 children, and one went to heaven, and so we have 4, and now they have children. Almost all of them do. You know them. They were at our church growing up, but... then I went to different jobs, and I ended up going to Midwest. And Midwest is removes asbestos abatement company. They do remediation of lead and mold and pretty much any hazardous material that people don't know what to do with or how to do it and don't want to. We do that kind of stuff for them. We do interior demolition. We do fireproofing, and we do roofing.
Midwest Service Group. Yeah, 4 children. I know, Tim, that we did a lot of camping together with you. Your family loves the outdoors, don't they?
Oh, yeah. We had a place where we camped for 34 years, and the old gentleman was a farmer, and he was right on the Cotaway. And when he passed away, his kids inherited the land. They didn't want to have campers, so that ended that.
But now you have your own place in the country where people can come and camp anytime.
Yeah, awesome. We have a place we lease it actually, but we have a trailer on it, and we hunt and fish up there. It's you got to have a place to get away. If you're going to live in the city, that's fine, but you got to have a place to get away.
Tim, one of the things that always impressed me about you is how you got up in the morning real early and read the book of Proverbs to your family.
Well, I was challenged about 30 something years ago by one of my mentors, was Ben Blanton. That's who I worked for. And since then, he's retired, and his son took over, Jeff Blanton. But Ed Cole wrote a book called Maximize Manhood in 1982. And I read that, and he wrote probably a dozen or so books. But one of the things he challenged us to do was read the book of Proverbs for the day of the month it is. There's 31 chapters. And so I took that challenge, and as I read it, I realized, you know, I had been a fool, and I didn't want to be a fool anymore. So the more you read the Bible, the more you get into the Word, the less ignorant you are.
So, you read the book of Proverbs every day, and you encouraged your family to do the same.
Yes, that's correct.
Tim, as a Christian leader in your home, what are some of the tips that you recommend families use in raising their children?
Well, pray together, and I read something once says family that prays together stays together. And so we're praying and we support each other. And me and Lisa are praying. We pray together. I get up real early and get in the Word. And she does it late at night because she's a night owl and I'm an early bird. So she's in the Word at night. But we come together and pray, and we pray strong for our kids and different things going on in the family. And so the main thing is pray and depend on God. You know, stay in the Word. And depend on God.
Tim, can you share a miracle that happened maybe as you were raising your children that showed God's immense great power?
Okay, I will talk to you about David. My son David actually had a near drowning, and we had lost a daughter 5 months before that. When my brother built a house on a lake out in Barnhart, we went out there and David got in the lake and took his life jacket off. He was 3 years old. And so we couldn't find him, and my brother was bobbing up and down in the deep water, my brother Joe, and he found him. And when he brought him back, he said, he's gone. I've seen guys like this in Vietnam. He's already gone. So me and Lisa put our hands on his little chest, and I'd been praying every day for about an hour and being in the Word for about an hour since my daughter had passed. And so I didn't know it, but I was, you know, building up my spiritual batteries, but it's not me. We put our hands on his chest and said, Satan, you're not stealing one of our babies. You're not stealing another one of our babies. In Jesus' name, we command life back in this boy's body. And they flew a helicopter out and took him to Children's Hospital. He came out of it in 3 hours like nothing happened.
Wow. Tim Rabbit's my guest on Encounter. I'm Judy Redlick. Tim is vice president of Midwest Service Group. He's also on the board of Ministry to Men in the greater St. Charles area. Tim, would you join me for another segment?
Yes, sure.
All right, we'll be back. I'm Judy Redlick. This is Encounter. For more Encounter shows by Judy Redlick, go to judyredlick.com/radio. We're always looking for sponsors for this website and great show ideas. Email me at jredlickspeaks@gmail.com. That's jredlickspeaks@gmail.com. In the St. Louis area, listen to me on Tuesdays, 1:30 p.m., KSIV 95.9 FM, 1320 AM. I'm Judy Redlick. This is Encounter. Tim Rabbit is my guest. You heard about the amazing miracle about his son David that God protected from drowning. And David today, he was a policeman, and now he's going to be a lawyer, huh, Tim?
No, he's in law school, so he's got his goals, and he's working toward them.
Wow, amazing. Tim, I just love people to hear stories of God showing up. Can you give us just one more?
Sure. When I was out of work in the early 80s, my wife was pregnant with our third child, and I was looking for work and doing whatever I could to make ends meet. And Lisa told me one day, she goes, we don't have much left in the house, and we're out of money, and we were making house payments on our credit card, and we didn't know what to do. And I said, the Bible says my God meets my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. So you roll over and go to bed. God's going to meet our needs. And she's kind of crying and rolled over, and I rolled over the other way, and I said, okay, God, what are we going to do? So a guy asked me to come rake his leaves in Webster Groves, and it was a big yard. And you put him on a tarp and drag him to the curb. And so I was out there. It was a big yard. I was out there all day, and the guy came by and said, hey, man, you don't have to rake leaves in the rain. It was raining. It was November. It was cold. And I said, no, I got to rake these leaves. I got something else to do tomorrow. He goes, no, you don't have to rake leaves in the rain. And I was tempted to stop raking the leaves, but I knew that, you know, I needed the money. And I said, no, I'm raking these leaves. He goes, no, you don't have to. I said, I'm raking these leaves. These are my leaves, and I'm raking them. He goes, okay, suit yourself. So he went in, he made hot chocolate, and I could see him at the window. Then when I got done, I came in. He goes, how much owe you? I go, $20. And so he gave me the 20. And then he said, you're believing God for some money, aren't you, son? I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, well, I'm a Christian businessman. I'm in between churches right now, and I believe in tithing. And God, just sitting here watching you out the window, told me to tithe to you. So here's a check. He handed me a check for $832.
Oh.
Yeah. At the time, that was like a million. And it just took my faith from the basement to the attic. I mean, it just, I was so excited. And then that week we went to church, and Lisa, you know, I didn't get my unemployment because I didn't fill out the paperwork right. It was $105. I said, you keep your money. My God meets my needs, not my government. And they came out in the parking lot and tried to stop me. And I said, no, I'm out of here. So I went to church, and we put in what we had in the offering. We prayed over it, and then Lisa was pregnant with David and went into the John. And I went up for prayer, and I asked for help find a job. And the drummer comes down and says, what's your name? And I told him, he goes, spell that. He wrote out a check for $100. Lisa comes running back from the John, and she goes, some lady gave me $5, $105, exactly what unemployment was at the time. So God met our needs according to his riches and glory, not ours. You know, it was just a miracle of what took us at that time. It wasn't a whole lot of money, obviously, but it took our faith to where now we could believe God for things.
And God can do that for you, too. Tim is the vice president of Midwest Service Group. He's also on the board of Ministry to Men out in the St. Charles area. Tim, talk about some tips for business leaders. I'm sure that you've had to make some major choices as a businessman through your life. And what are some invaluable tips that you can share with our listeners?
First thing I'd say is put God first. And you always want to lead with integrity and be honest. And when you do business like that, 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. So if you commit, it talks about in Proverbs, committing your future and success and your business to God. If you put God in your business, then he'll work things out and make things happen. And Psalms 5:12 talks about supernatural favor. I pray for that every day. And it seems like people who don't know you, just met you, they like you and they're trying to help you. And that's God working on your behalf.
How has your faith changed things at Midwest Service Group?
Well, we're 32 years old. We started out in 87, and we've gone from a small company to probably the major company in St. Louis that does asbestos abatement.
So God has really blessed the work of Midwest.
Oh, yeah. God is all over it. And my bosses, was Ben Blanton, now it's Jeff Blanton. They said, you know, we're going to do stuff right, and we're going to do it right, no matter what everybody else is doing.
Can you give us an example as a businessman where you had to make some tough choices of honesty and integrity and righteousness as opposed to doing something that might have gotten you more money or more prestige?
Well, you just, some jobs you just don't take because the way you have to get them, you just pass on them because they're just not right. And I talked to Ben about it. He said some of the best jobs I ever bid are ones I didn't get because the situation isn't right or you got to sacrifice your integrity and it's just not worth it. Life's too short to worry about that kind of stuff. So you just do stuff right and let the chips fall where they do.
Maybe some other businessmen are listening today who are saying, how do you know when it's right and when it's not right when you bid on a job? How do you know?
Well, you don't know. You have to act in faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. So if you're in the word every morning, which we all should be, you get the word, it gets stored in your heart. And then when you go out and you have things happen and bids come up or relationships come into your business, you know, you feel it in your heart. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. Romans 13:8, I think it is, says, those that are led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God. And that's what we want to be. We want to be men led by the Spirit of God. And so if you're led by the Holy Spirit, he's going to show you. It says in Proverbs, he'll show you how to make the right decision every single time. Now, I'm not there yet. None of us are. But that's what it says. The Spirit of wisdom will be poured out on you, and you'll be able to make correct decisions.
Tim also graduated as a minister from City Bible Institute.
I did 3 years of Bible college, and I have 2 courses that's required to become an ordained minister in the Assemblies of God. And I'm going to take those this spring, and then I'll be a minister in the Assemblies of God. I'll be a licensed minister, and then they check you out and see, make sure you're doing a ministry. Then in 2 years, I'll get ordained.
Tim Rabbit, who grew up where his teachers thought he's not going to amount to much. He has dyslexia, and now he's vice president of Midwest Service Group. He's also on the board of Ministry to Men, and he's also becoming an ordained minister. How do you cope with your dyslexia today?
Well, it take me longer to read something, but when I read it, I got it. My comprehension is very good, and I love reading the Bible. So years ago, I felt called to the ministry, and I had 3 little kids, and my wife was like, I don't feel like you're called. We got a family, you know, to feed. So I talked to Pastor about it. Pastor Joel said, well, it's no surprise to God. You got a family. If you're called, the calling's without repentance. So just put that on the shelf and live your daily life and see what God does. So I got involved in different men's ministries. I was in Christian Men's Network with Edwin Lewis Cole, who, like I told you, wrote all those books. Now I'm in Ministry to Men, and we have events we just have refreshments and guys come in and hear different speakers. And then from there, hopefully the guys invite people that come to their Bible. We call them Bible discussion groups. We have about 45 of them out in St. Charles County and St. Louis. We say St. Charles County and beyond. But the guys come together. I have a meeting at YMCA at 7 o'clock on Friday morning. And we get together for about an hour, and we get into the Word of God and different books based on the Bible. So these guys then invite guys to this event that we have. We have several events in the year. And from that, they hear different speakers, and that's how we follow up on those guys and take their spiritual temperature and then invite them to keep coming to this stuff. And that's how we get guys spiritually mature.
If people are interested, where do they go to find out more, Tim?
They can go to ministrytomen.net.
That's ministrytomen.net. Tim, as a summary, you've shared a lot of different ideas. You've shared some challenges you faced in your life and how God brought you through. In summary, what tips would you give the father that's listening to this show or the grandfather that's listening to this show today?
Well, some of us become grandfathers and we think our job here is done, but not really. Those kids, our kids raising your grandchildren, are needing some help. And so the grandfather, those kids look up to us. It's kind of like when I was a high school kid, the coach was God to me because he could get me playing time on the field. And so I did whatever made the coach happy. And those grandkids look up to grandpa and grandma. They want to do whatever makes us happy. And they just love being around us because we're not the one disciplining them all the time and correcting them. So we just get to relax a little bit and love on them. And the grandfathers, I think you guys have a great opportunity to pour the Word of God and godliness into those kids.
And tips to moms?
Same thing. Try and get my daughters, got little kids. I think they're 6, 8, and 10. And that's one family. And, you know, just constantly don't give up on them. You know, she's kind of tired of disciplining them. And I go, well, don't give up now. You know, you're doing a great job. Just you got to discipline them, but do it godly and don't provoke them to wrath and don't do it in anger, you know, when you discipline the kids. But you do have to discipline them and just keep pouring the word into them and be kind to them and gracious and you'll raise up some good kids.
And give them lots of hugs, right, Tim?
Oh, yeah.
Tim Rabbit has been my guest. He is the vice president of Midwest Service Group out in St. Charles, also part of the board at Ministry to Men. And again, Tim, that website, if people want more information about upcoming events or want to be a part of the men's Bible studies.
MinistryToMen.net.
MinistryToMen.net. A godly father, a godly grandfather, and going to become soon an ordained minister. Tim, I really want to thank you for being a part of Encounter today, and I hope that Tim's words of wisdom will help you get on a track where God can use you and bless you and give you the insight that you need to be the best father or mother or grandparent that you can be. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. If you would like to listen to this broadcast again, you can go to my website at judyredlich.com/radio and pick it out and listen to it. There's some other shows out there. And if you'd like to email me, if you have an idea for a show, you can email me at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening to Encounter.
Encounter is you and the issues, where the facts and opinions make you an informed citizen of St. Louis. Thank you for your participation. Let a friend know about this talk and issues feature of Bot Radio Network and KSIV. Then join us next time for Encounter.